Now, we're going to have our Bible reading this morning, and that will be followed by the sermon. We'll sing again after the sermon, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper and sing our final hymn a bit later on. Our Bible reading is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'd like to read the whole chapter to you, although I'll just be preaching from a couple of verses. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Jesus said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Now, in our sermon, we're going to focus on verse 13 and 14, the two roads, the two gates, the wide road, the narrow road. And before we come to that, we're going to pray once again. Lord, now as we come to your words, we bow once again before you and admit that we can do nothing without you. It's your voice that we want to hear. We've sung to you, we've prayed to you, now we want to listen to you, but you are the one who must speak. You are the one, Lord God, we pray, who will please take these words of Jesus Christ, your own Son, and open them to us and apply them to us and write them on our hearts. And show us how to respond to them, Lord, we pray. Show us what to make of these words today, what to think, what to understand and believe, and what to do. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I'm just going to switch over to the other microphone.
This gives me a bit of scope to walk around and pace up and down and so on. So we'll just get a bit of flex going there. And as I mentioned just now, we're talking about Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, where Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Enter through the narrow gate, he said to us. Wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. Small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It seems to me that in Jesus' teaching, we're on a journey then. We should each think of our lives as a journey. And every day we're making progress towards the end of that journey. And we don't know exactly when the end will come. It might be that we have many, many years here. It might be that the end will come quite suddenly in an unexpected way. But whether short or long, we have a road ahead of us. And we're traveling inevitably down that road day by day. There's no turning back. We can't reverse time and go back a few years or even a few days. And there's no stopping the journey either. We progress inevitably down a road. But not all roads lead to the same place. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are two different destinations. There are two ways my life and your life could end. We talk about heaven and hell, or in Jesus' words, life and destruction. Some people's journey through this world ends in life. Other people, their journey through this world ends tragically in destruction. Now, what does Jesus mean by those two words? We often talk about, we say to ourselves, don't we, this is the life. Maybe for you it's an afternoon fishing, or an afternoon in the allotment, or just some time spent with family or friends, and you say to yourself, this is living, this is what it's all about. But what Jesus says to us is, well, you haven't really started yet. The things that we enjoy here, they're not really life with a capital L. There's better things to come. There are better days even than your best days. The best days of your life now are not yet really life with a capital L. The best is yet to come. And Jesus in his teaching talks about a great wedding celebration. That's his picture of heaven. Understand that some of you recently were involved in a wedding. And what a great day it is when a couple get married and you're there, you see them make those promises to each other, you pray for them, and you go and have food together afterwards and celebrate their wedding. It's a wonderfully happy time, isn't it? And Jesus says, maybe if you think about a wedding feast, that gives you some idea of what life in the future will be like. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. But that's not the only destination. Some people's journey through this world ends in life. Other people end in destruction. And this is a very different picture. Now, when the Lord Jesus uses the word destruction, you might be tempted to think, well, that's just it. You just end. You just disappear out of existence. But we know from his teaching elsewhere that that isn't exactly the case. Destruction, we're to understand, is an ongoing state of experience that people enter into after death. Elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, Jesus uses the phrase weeping and gnashing of teeth on several different occasions to teach us that this is a very sad place, a place of tears, regret, bitterness, and a place where people are very angry, gnashing their teeth against God. People who hated him in this life go on hating him, and they gnash their teeth and weep in rage and sorrow. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ means by destruction. And of course, the thing to understand about life and destruction is that they're both forever. They're both permanent situations. I don't know if any of you made it down to the beach this summer in the hot weather, maybe down to Southend or Walton. I don't know if any of you tried counting the grains of sand on the beach. Probably not. You'd be there for a long time, wouldn't you? Imagine if you scoop up a handful of grains of sand on the beach, maybe 80 or 90 grains. Each one of those could stand for a year of your life. 80 years, 90 years, maybe less. Now imagine actually setting yourself to count through every single grain of sand on that beach. One, two, three. Every one of them's a year. And you count them through. I don't know how long it would take. But you count through every grain of sand on that beach until you get to the end, from one end to the other. Forever is still ahead of you. How many grains would it be? 10,000? A million? 10 million? Forever still goes on ahead of you. It's an incredibly long time, isn't it, forever? It doesn't end. So where you spend forever, or as we might say, where you spend eternity, is a really big question. It's a bigger question than whether you have a good or a bad life here, whether you have a wealthy life or a poor life, a healthy life or an unhealthy life, a happy life or an unhappy life. Because think of those grains of sand again. They soon run out. But forever never ends. So when the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that we can end our days here in life or destruction, he's teaching us about the most important question, the most important issue we could ever face. Because nothing is bigger than our eternal future, whether good or bad. Now you might say at this point, okay, that's your version of the future. How do you know? Somebody might say, I like to believe in reincarnation. Actually, I like to think that people come back to this life. Well, let me just say, if any of your friends talk to you about reincarnation, it's not really a very attractive idea when you think about it. Because what it really means is, if somebody's born ill or born handicapped as a little baby, we shouldn't really feel sorry for them or sympathy, because it's actually their fault from a previous life and they've come back in this form as a punishment. So it's not a great idea, really, reincarnation. Or other people might say to you, and perhaps you've heard this, or perhaps you've had this argument with people you know, well, when you die, that's just it. Somebody was saying this to me yesterday. You die and that's the end. Nothing happens after death. And I said to them, there's actually no evidence for that. There's no evidence that that's true. You might like to think that's true. We know that's what happens to the human body, but there's no evidence that the soul ceases to exist at death. And he said, well, there's no evidence for your view either. But I said, look, we have the teaching of someone who knows. It says in the Bible that no one's ever gone up into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, Jesus Christ. No one's ever visited the life beyond death and come back to tell us about it, but we do have someone who was with God from the beginning, who's seen heaven and who's seen hell with his own eyes, and who's come to earth as a man to teach us about it. So when the Lord Jesus Christ teaches about heaven and hell, life and destruction, we should take his word seriously, because he does know what he's talking about. Unlike all those other people who speculate and debate with you about life after death, he's seen it. And he speaks to us what he knows. So, there are two destinations that are possible for you and me. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. Can you know which one of those two you're heading for? Can you know which road you're on? Yes. Yes, you can. There are two roads leading to these two destinations. And we can know and understand which one of them we're on. And if we're heading down the wrong road to the wrong destination, the Lord Jesus tells us exactly what to do about it as well. First of all, he says there's a wide, wide, easy road. And I take it that this is a wide road because there's room for everyone on this road. All kinds of people can go down it. You can take whatever route you want down this wide, easy road. You could be an atheist. There's room for you on the wide road. You could be a deeply religious person, deeply committed to your God. There's room for you on the same road. You could be a wicked man, a convicted criminal, spending the rest of your days in prison. You could be a righteous man, an upright man, who's never done anybody any harm. The road is wide enough for both of you. You could look across at somebody on the wide road and say, I'm not like him. I would never do what he's done. I would never treat people the way he treated me. I would never let people down. I would never be dishonest like that. I would never hurt somebody the way he hurt me. And you're looking at somebody a long way away from you, very different from you, but still on the same wide, wide road. There's room for all sorts on that road. It's so broad. The narrow road, by contrast, is very narrow. Very narrow. And I'll tell you how narrow this road is. It's the road of Jesus Christ only. That's how narrow that narrow road is. Very, very narrow. Only Jesus Christ. So, people have all kinds of views about all kinds of things. Some people are left wing, some people are right wing. Some people are pro-Brexit, other people are pro-Remain. There's all kinds of opinions on all sorts of subjects. But for somebody on the narrow road, the question is always, what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? What's his teaching? I follow him. People on the wide road do all kinds of things with their Sundays. Might want to go and play golf. Stay in bed on Sunday morning. Might want to go and spend the day with your family. All kinds of options are open. But on the narrow road, it's Jesus first. I want to be on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, where Jesus' people are, because I'm following him. I want to be in the place where he's promised to be present. So that's my priority for my time. On the wide road, people do all kinds of different things with their money. Some people save up and build up big savings accounts and share accounts. Other people spend it as soon as they've got it and spend more on the credit card and max out the credit card and then get another one. Still on the same wide road. But on the narrow road, people follow Jesus, give generously, because the Lord's given so much to them. And so we could go on talking about the narrow road that is Jesus Christ and following him. And the best news about this narrow road is this. Jesus Christ walks it with you. Jesus Christ walks that narrow road with you. If you're struggling, he encourages you. If you're weak, he strengthens you. If you're lost and confused, he leads you. If you're compromising, he challenges you. If you're slowing down and getting weary, he drives you on. And if you wander off, he calls you back and takes you along that narrow road with him, right to that destination that he's promised you of eternal life. So you can know this morning which road you're on. Are you on the narrow road, which is Jesus only, or are you living your life some different way on the broad road? Maybe if you're on the narrow road this morning, Jesus Christ is calling you back, and you hear his voice saying to you, no more compromise, no more sin at that point. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Walk with me on the narrow road once again. But what about if you're on a broad road? Well, Jesus said, as you have in front of you in your Bible, enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. Small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. So this is the choice. Two destinations, two roads. And the choice we all face. Can you hear in Jesus' teaching that we all start on the broad road. There's no broad gate. If you like, we're born on that wide, easy way. Nobody, strictly speaking, is born a Christian. Sometimes as a pastor, I ask people for their testimony, and they tell me this. Well, I've always been a Christian. Well, okay. You were born in a Christian family. You were brought to church from a baby. You've always believed Christian things. But did you go through the narrow gate? Did you make your choice to follow Jesus? Nobody's born on the narrow road. Or other people say, well, becoming a Christian is something that happens to you, isn't it? It just happens. And sometimes I think our teaching on predestination and the new birth can confuse people here. Because we say, don't we, that God predestines people before they're born. That's in the Bible. God plans those who will be Christians and those who won't. That's in the Bible. And we say, don't we, that you must be born again. That's in the Bible, isn't it, in Jesus' teaching. And so somebody could hear these things and say to themselves, well, I suppose I'll just wait then and God will make me a Christian. I suppose I'll just maybe wake up one day or one Sunday in church, it will just happen to me and then I'll be a Christian. Well, all these things are true, predestination and the new birth, and they're all in Jesus' teaching. But they shouldn't take away from what he's saying here. He's calling on us to make a choice. Enter through the narrow gate. It's something we must do. Again, thinking about Katie's wedding, I'm sure many of you were here when she and her husband made those promises to each other. And think about the way that works. A couple can get to know each other well and understand a lot about each other and spend a lot of time together and become really good friends. But they're not husband and wife until they actually say, I do. There's that choice, that commitment they have to make. And they can't call themselves a married couple until they get to that point. And I think it's like that with many people in Jesus Christ. People know a lot about him, and they like what they know, and they're happy to be in church, perhaps, and happy to be doing Christian things and around Christian people. But maybe nobody told them, or maybe they just haven't come to that point yet, of making their own individual choice to enter through the narrow gate. Becoming a Christian is not something that happens to you, like catching a cold. It's something you choose, you decide, like getting married. So this is Jesus Christ's invitation this morning to enter through the narrow gate and start on the narrow way. My own story is that I started attending church when I was about 16 years old. Didn't come from a Christian family, but I felt a need for God. I went along to the local parish church. And I tried to live the Christian life. But that particular church, they didn't have particularly clear teaching. In fact, I would say it was a liberal church. They didn't teach the truth of Jesus from the Bible at all. So I didn't become a Christian at that point. But I thought I was a Christian because I was going to church and I was trying to live the Christian life. And I carried on in that way, trying and failing to do what Christians should do for about 8 years. When I went away to college, I met some proper Christians who believed in Christ and followed him. And I didn't instantly like them or the kind of things they were saying. Didn't instantly respond. But a few years later, I came to see, I think it was when I was reading a book. It was explained to me that I needed to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of phrase that trips off the tongue, isn't it, in Christian circles. Oh, I give my life to the Lord. But when you think about it, it's quite a big thing to do, isn't it? Give your life to somebody else. And so I thought about that for a while. I thought, do I really want to do this? I would quite like running my own life. Quite like to keep my life. But I thought, well, actually, I'm not making that good a job of it. I'm not going that well. And the Lord Jesus Christ is very good, very kind, very loving. I can trust him. I can give my life to him. And that's what I did, age 24. That was my way, if you like, of entering through the narrow gate. and beginning on the narrow road. Now, you can probably tell by looking at me, that was quite a few years ago. And you might say, well, have you stayed on that narrow road since then? And I would say to you, well, yes, I have. There have been false turns. There have been times when I've wandered away. There have been times when I've stumbled, times when I've drifted. But the Lord has called me back, and he's walked with me and kept me going in the right direction from that day until now. And I'm confident that I will arrive at that promised destination that he calls life. I'm confident that at the end of the road, whether it's many years away or coming up quickly now, I'm confident that I'll be with him forever in heaven. Not because I'm a great Christian or I'm a great person, but because I'm on his narrow road and he's walking it with me. So the call to you, if this is something you've never done or never even thought about, the call to you is to enter through the narrow gate. And I just wonder if this is something that you're ready to contemplate here and now this morning. It'd be a great moment, wouldn't it? You might say, well, I've been coming to church for a while and I've heard about Christianity and I've met Christians and I like them and I like what I see in their lives, but I've never actually taken that step of giving my life to Christ. It'd be a good day to do that. Now, I could say a lot more about that, as you can imagine, but I think I'll stop there and just say that if what I've said seems particularly important or relevant to you, I would be very happy to talk with you afterwards, perhaps pray with you. Whether it's a case of entering through the narrow gate for the first time or whether you feel that maybe you've drifted off that narrow path in some way, need to come back, I'd be very happy to spend time with you after the service. And in any case, I'd like to pray with you now and ask that the Lord will lead us and direct us wherever we might be with him. Let's pray. Lord, many of us here can thank you for that time when we entered through the narrow gate. We didn't start out as Christians, but you called us, you led us, you drew us, you taught us, and we said, yes, Lord, and we gave our lives to you. And this narrow path that we've been walking, it's not always been easy. It's not always been comfortable. We've had to face many things, and sometimes we've got it wrong, Lord, and sometimes we've acted in our own self-interest rather than as followers of Christ. Sometimes we've failed and fallen short. You know that, Lord, but you've been with us every step of the way. So I pray for any today who need to come back to you. They're on that path, but somehow they've taken a left turn or a right turn, whatever it may be, or just wandered off in some way. Lord, I pray that you will touch their hearts and call them back to walk with you. Lord, I also pray this morning for any who've never actually entered through the narrow gate. Lord, I pray for that choice, that decision that lies in front of them. Lord, I thank you for the promise you give of life to all who turn and follow you. We look forward to sharing in that life with you forever. And Lord, we have to pray for many, many people we know and love who, as far as we can tell, are on the other road. Easy road, popular road, but it leads to destruction. Lord, will you set that gate, that choice, clearly in front of them and draw them, call them, draw them to yourself as you've drawn us. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to sing, before we come to the Lord's table, we're going to sing In Christ Alone.